You are listening to The Edge, a podcast for personal development junkies and visionaries living right at the precipice of oh shit meets fuck yeah. I'm Nadia Munda, an embodiment and relationship coach and a lover of all edges. Stick around to listen to raw, unpolished conversations where we explore our personal and collective edges in all their erotic glory. Hello, everyone. Okay, I'm coming to you today. I want to talk about capitalism and our bodies. This one is so important to talk about because I find that we often find conversations out in the world about people and maybe even more so women, right? Worrying about how their bodies look, right? So whether we're working in the, you know, in the realm of eating disorders, dysfunctional, like dieting culture, fixing yourself up, plastic surgery, lip injections, hey, buy this new bra that makes your boobs look, you know, even higher than they are. Or buy this, what are those things called? Oh my gosh, I forget what they're called. Those tights that suck it all in. Anyways, that product, right? So there's a lot in the market about and sort of addressing the pain point that people have around their relationship to how their body looks. But what I don't hear, the conversation I am not hearing much out there, is the relationship we have to how our bodies function. So there's this assumption that people have that because I'm an embodiment coach, oh, you're so like in deep, loving connection with your body and like you have it all figured out, like you're always feeling sensual and turned on and energetic and healthy and, you know, I'm never disconnected. Of course, that's totally not true. It is exactly the opposite. I became an embodiment coach because I needed this medicine. And I found it to be so incredibly liberating to dive deeper into this work that I had to share it with you all, which is why I became a coach and in particular started focusing on embodiment and sensuality and all that good stuff. But I did not grow up feeling connected. Total opposite. Doctors gave me ulcer medication, you guys, which they usually give to old people, okay? At 16, I was taking ulcer medication because I had two holes in my stomach. What? I had like back acne. I had so many hormonal issues. I thought I was going to die every time I got my period. I grew up in a war zone. I had a lot of war trauma that I wasn't super aware of that definitely had me feel unsafe in my body. There was a lot of sexual violation in my early years that had me feel super disconnected from my body, right? Like there's so many different things that had me move into this realm of work. And it wasn't because, ooh, this came easy to me. No, it was because I struggled hard with my body. And one of the first deeply traumatic experiences, I laugh because, you know, it's, it was like, the world was going to end for me because I was 8 years old. And obviously now as an adult, I look at it, I'm like, it's not really that big of a deal. But for my 8 year old's nervous system, it was the end of the world. And it was when I had, since the age of two, been practicing ballet religiously, devotionally, was so obsessed, wanted that to be on, you know, the oh my God, why am I forgetting the name of them? The shoes that you go on point. And I wanted my big tutu and I wanted my big moment on the stage. And I was like so all about that. And I was training with the Maryland Youth Ballet, which was like a really known, you know, dance company. And I was 8. Okay. I was just starting. But, you know, when you have a career in something, you start very early on. And I was like, I'm going to be a ballerina, bitches. Like, this is what's happening. There was no question about it. And then my teacher at the time sat me down with, gosh, I'm blanking. I don't know if it was my mom or my dad, one of my parents, and was like, listen, Nadia can't keep going to the class. You know, she can't graduate to the next class because she's got some problems in her knees. And as a result, she can't ever go on point. If she goes on point, it will be really painful for her body. It won't be good for her alignment. And so she can continue ballet, but, you know, she can't move forward in her journey. So it would just be like maintenance ballet. And I was like, yeah, fuck that shit. And I just like threw in the towel, got super depressed about it, was very like, wah, wah, you know. And it was like the world ended because I could not be a ballerina. And it was so it was such a key milestone in this program that started to run through my body and in my reality that honestly I still struggle with every single day. And I want to share this with you today. And I'm sharing this with you today because I think a lot of us are not even aware that we struggle with this. And the conversation in the collective hasn't fully started around this. I feel like we're just starting to have this conversation. And so that programming was one of, oh, my body is my enemy because it can't function the way my mind wants it to. All right, so my body is my enemy, not because of my concern of how it looked. It was never like, oh, well, my knees actually are shaped inwards, which is by the way they are, and like isn't the most aesthetically beautiful. But it's my body, you know, it is what it is. And I never personally had any issues with the way it looks. You know, if I really harp on it and look in the mirror for too long, I'll probably start to get a little annoyed about it. But generally, I'm like, whatever, that's just my legs. But so for me, the imprint in my system was nothing about how my body looked. It was about what my body could do and couldn't do, how it functioned. And for me in that moment, my knees, right? And the fact that they weren't located perfectly in the right spot and my joints were a little fucked up completely obliterated my childhood dreams. And I was devastated. I mean, I still feel it in my body when I think about it. And so I believe that the silver lining to the pandemic, one of them at least, was that this was a question we started to ask ourselves. We've gotten so used to just autopiloting. Oh yeah, of course my body works 16 hours a day. And let's just keep caffeinating and to give, you know, give it even more energy and more productivity and like how much can we output? And we start to view our body as this machine and we're like, why can't you keep up? And then we get into, you know, the capitalistic competition mindset where it's like, well, my body can do even more than your body, right? Like we are living in a system, in a society, in a set of values that's like, do more, be more productive, right? You're a better person if you do more. And so it can be a huge struggle for a lot of us when we feel our body can't keep up. And so the silver lining in the pandemic was everyone had to slow down and everyone had to question, wait a second, am I supposed to be working this many hours? Am I supposed to be working so much that I can only grab a Subway sandwich on the way home, a pizza, maybe even it's healthier food, but it's still restaurant prepared. It's not prepared with your own hands or by someone you love, which is such a different experience. Right, than restaurant. Forget about even the ingredients. It's the energetics of what's in your food. Not to go too far on a tangent. But we started to question, like, wait a second. Actually, we are living in a world that reveres speed and productivity and go, go, go. And like, we started to realize, all the things we sacrificed in the name of this manifesto, right? This capitalistic productivity manifesto. How much can you get done? When are you going to get the promotion? Work your freaking ass off so much so that you can get that promotion, so you can get a few extra, you know, vacation days, or so that you get a little bit more money for those vacation days. But joke's on you because you only get 2 weeks out of the year, right? Or if you're self-employed, you're like, oh, I always got to launch the next program, do the next thing because I got to be better than the other person who's, you know, celebrating $1 million months. And you're like, oh man, I only made $1 million this year. It's like, excuse me, you made $1 million. What? And that's not to say we can't always want more. And I'm going to get into this a little bit further, the question of like, okay, when is hustle good? Because this is where things get confusing. But right now, we were in this slowing down period at the beginning of the pandemic. And a lot of us started to go, whoopsies. I think I've been pledging my allegiance to the wrong place. Do I really value this sort of a thing? And all the people who, I mean, of course, listen, we had the other side of like, oh, we're in one room with five other people. But a lot of people finally, especially, you know, especially men, it appears, got time. You know, men who traditionally are out of the house a lot more than women, not in all cases, but quite often, they were like, oh my God, I got to spend time with my kids. I'm sure there was also moments of like, get me out of here. I wish I had an office and a man cave. And so we, I believe, are in this interesting moment in history where we've been going on autopilot for a couple hundred years, bowing down to the American dream, capitalism. If you're not in America, there's still the American dream in other parts of the world, right? It's the capitalistic dream. Just work your ass off and you'll get there. At the expense of what? So what happens is for many of us, that relationship, that contentious relationship with our body is not one of, oh, she doesn't look good, or, you know, they don't look good, or it doesn't look good, or however you refer to your body. I like to say she, so I'm going to refer to she a lot. So she, it, for me, it's rarely about she doesn't look good. And it's a lot more about like, God, I just wish I had more energy. God, I just wish I had more hours in the day with productivity and like mental capacity. I wish I, you know, my body could do the hot yoga class and still do 6 hours of coaching and then still create a post and, you know, and then still go out to dinner with friends. And like, I ask my body constantly, whether I mean to or not, to do more than she can, to do more than her capacity. And then I get mad at her, like, what the fuck? Why can't you do more? I'm constantly mad. And this is obviously not the conscious part of me. This is the unconscious part of me. And then I work on, you know, going, wait a second. That is not the way to talk to your body. But I do it all the time. Confession, guys, do it all the time. And I always have to catch myself. And this for me is actually one of my deepest areas of struggle in life, is feeling like I look around and everyone seems to be able to do more. And, you know, you can, some people who know human design can argue, oh, well, it's because you're a projector. I can also argue that, you know, I have a lot of hormonal issues and my cortisol levels are really crap right now. Or maybe they have been their whole life, but I just discovered it. So I actually do technically have less of the hormone that gives me energy throughout the day. And so I get mad about it. Right? And maybe it's something totally different. Maybe it's just my body and the way that she is, right? And so I think it is such an important conversation for us to have about decolonizing our bodies And not just from beauty standards, which everyone's talking about, but from productivity standards. Capitalism is slowly but surely taking away our body wisdom. It's asking us to override our nervous system over and over and over again. It's asking us to sleep less. It's asking us to value making our own food, you know, taking time to grow organic vegetables in the backyard and then preparing a beautiful soup or salad from that. And it's saying, no, 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 go to work, pledge allegiance to your boss and whatever corporation you're working for. And on the way home, pick up a meal from another corporation because they make it easy for you. Because God forbid you, you know, take time to slow down. And I say this as someone who was stuck in that loop for so long. And even though now I eat at home most of the time, I eat organic most of the time, I don't yet fully grow my vegetables, don't have enough of a plot of land or gardening skills to do so, but working my way towards that. But I do. I slow down a lot. I don't work a shit ton anymore. I really don't. I can have days where I'm off because I run my own business if I really need to. So I'm not even saying this as someone who's stuck in the corporate grind, and yet I still am constantly catching myself and have to go, oh, you're imposing a system, a dictatorship, essentially, over your body unconsciously in the way that you talk to her. When you're like, oh, I just wish you could do more. I wish you could wake up more with more energy. I wish you could, da, da, da. Right? And so the interesting thing about this undoing of capitalism and this decolonizing of our bodies from this productivity like obsession is, okay, well, do I just lean back and not do anything and relax and give my body everything she needs? Which in the moment can feel like days of sleep and just watching Netflix or something. Is that the answer to decolonizing capitalism out of my body? Probably not. That's tipping the scales all the way to the other side. And so you may need a minute of that if you're burnt out. But I run a business. I want to create in the world. I want to make beautiful things. I want to create beautiful experiences. I want to coach people and change their lives. I want to teach so many embodied classes that the world is dancing, right? Like I have dreams. I have visions. I have so many things I want to do. And then I have the reality of, oh, like okay, I'm unwinding all of this capitalistic dictatorship in my own body that I created, that I put onto myself, right? Programming from the outside, but ultimately, who's keeping me accountable and keeping me like pushing, pushing, pushing? That's me. It's no one actually telling me you have to wake up this time and do this many things a day. It's my own inner voice, my inner critic going, oh, you should do more, you should do more, you should do more. And I imagine you've had moments like that. And so the inquiry, the exploration that I find really fascinating is, okay, so how do we allow instead of force? How do we allow life force to still animate us, to move us, to create through us without forcing it, without overriding our body's capacity? Because hustle in and of itself is not bad. It's where the hustle is coming from. Is it coming from fear, from panic, from frenetic energy, or is it coming from clear, focused, let's do this. Let's do this because I have a North Star, because I have a vision, because I'm so passionate about this thing. And so I'm going to do it. And it's tricky because you always have to check back in. When you're moving fast, you always have to question it. Am I moving fast because I'm scared something's behind me? Because I'm scared I'm not catching up to what's in front of me? Or am I moving fast because it feels good, because I'm so freaking excited, because I just, you know, I want the world to experience this expression of love coming through me. Very different energies. And it's tricky. You know, I'm coming out of newly, since starting the podcast, I came out of a 6 to 8 month or so intentional hiatus. And I did that partly as the program to decolonize my body from this. And let me tell you, I come back in, and I don't know, it's been maybe a month and a half, something like that, where I've been back up and at it. And right now in particular, I'm being asked to move even faster because I've got some personal circumstances that have me just having to do a lot more. I'm moving, I'm creating a new e-course. There's a lot of things going on. And so I am moving faster than I did, say, in January or February, when I was just intentionally not taking on any new clients, not marketing anything, just sort of maintaining the clients I had and the programs I had, not really writing, not doing anything. On those days, I definitely moved through life at a much slower pace. And that's easy to do when you don't have a lot of things tugging at you. But what's hard to do is to move at an intentional pace when you do have a lot. And I actually, I think, naturally move fast. There's places I move slow and there's places where I'm like, all right, the energy's here, let's do it. Go, go, go. While the inspiration's here, I'm doing it. And not everyone is set up that way. But what we can do is ask ourselves, okay, am I moving fast? Because I'll notice myself getting scared. I'll notice myself as I move fast going, uh-oh, am I going back into old patterns? Am I allowing that rhetoric of productivity to invade my internal landscape again? Am I letting it take over, creep into my cells? Ugh, God, get it out. Get it out. But then I check in, and at least right now with where I am, I don't feel that. I feel deep alignment and a lot of energy moving through me, a lot of excitement, a lot of inspiration, a lot of passion. And so the hustle is still happening. The fast pace is still happening, but it's coming from a very different place. Alternatively, people can also move slow from a place of fear. Just because you're moving slow doesn't mean you're more enlightened. You could be moving slow because you're in basically freeze, procrastination, overwhelm, right? You're not moving because you're terrified. Something's up. Trauma's kicking in hard, right? So it's never actually about the pace at which we are moving, but more what is propelling us forward. You know, there was this concept I taught for so many years, still comes up sometimes in my work, love-based motivation versus fear-based motivation. And motivation essentially is energy moving forward. It's a trajectory. It's an arrow from point A to point B. And when we think about motivation, there's times where we motivate because we scare the shit out of ourselves. Like, you better do this or you're not going to be able to pay the bills, right? Or you got to get this done because you got to be better than that other person that you really want to beat, whether you admit it or not, you know, in your industry. And that's a fear-based motivation, obviously. And then there's love-based motivation. Like, all right, we want to get this out into the world because it's going to change people's lives. Because I believe in this mission, because I believe in this modality, I believe in this program, I believe in this process and this method. I want to get this out there, and there's a fire burning in my belly because I know it's going to make the world a better place, right? Like, that's love-based motivation. Very different than, like, I better get that shit done or else I can't pay rent. And to me, again, love-based motivation and really sitting with what motivates love-based motivation, which I know is love, but I mean in your life in particular, what brings that energy forth and what brings the other energy, and can you just pay attention to when it's this or that? and just check yourself, essentially, right? And so my prayer is that we have more conversations, because I feel like I'm just opening up the door here to what it is we need to be looking at and be aware of, be discerning of around pushing and pressuring our body to function a certain way and getting mad when she doesn't. And I'm also sharing this so that I can give voice to all the people who are like, oh yeah, I do struggle with my body. And they don't find, you know, themselves represented in the conversation around, you know, the body. My body doesn't look a certain way, and so I'm mad about it, or I want to change it, or I'm ashamed about it. And instead, their main contentious piece is actually around, oh, my body can't do enough. And all you projectors listening, I know you know what I'm talking about. And it's not just limited to projectors, but I know the projectors listening are like, oh, girl, you're talking my language. Because we are asked to do so much in a world of people that have even more energy. And those people who have more energy still can't keep up with the standards. So projectors are feeling, you know, we have extra, extra, extra pressure. So that's really a little of what I wanted to talk about. It's the beginning of a conversation. I feel like this is a topic where I want to bring on different people to go further into different threads, different subtopics underneath this idea of capitalism and the body. But for now, I just want to leave you with that. Notice, what pace are you going? Is it love-based motivation? Is it fear-based motivation? Are you moving quickly from a place of trauma? Are you moving slowly from a place of trauma? And when I say trauma, just like a fear of, oh my God, if I don't go at this pace, this will happen. Or, oh gosh, if I actually do something, people will find out I'm not real. I don't actually know what the fuck I'm doing. Or if I actually do something, you know, which is like this, the person who's super slow, but doing it from a place of overwhelm, is really thinking, oh, I don't want to be seen. I'm scared to succeed because then I'll fail, right? Like we have all these different fears around why we decide to go slow or go fast. And your journey might be one of actually speeding up. And for some people, it's of slowing down. And for most of us, it's going to be seasonal. Sometimes it's really good to be going slow, and sometimes it's good to be going fast. But always coming back to, am I forcing or am I allowing? Does my body feel good doing this? Is my body getting spent doing this? Do I feel bitter, full resentment doing this? Or do I feel incredible excitement? Do I feel stuck when I'm going slow? Or do I feel, ah, oh, I can exhale. Ah, oh, finally a moment to take a bath with no kids around. All right. See how that goes. Try it on. Let me know. Always welcome DMs from you all. Okay. Big love. If this episode juiced you up, turned you on, and got you interested in private coaching with me, head on over to nadiamunla.com. The Work With Me page outlines everything, the time containers, the price points, who I work with, and so on and so forth. And if you still have questions after that, you can email us at info@nadiamunla.com to inquire about applications or anything else that was not answered on the page. And then when I receive your application, if I feel like we're a fit, we always hop on an exploration call before we commit to anything. And this to me is like going on a date, going on a coaching date. And we do that in order to really confirm that this is a relationship we both want to enter into for a period of time. We get clear on what it is that I can support you with, whether I am the best person to support you, and how we will do so. So if this is you, I can't wait to get your application and hop on the phone with you soon. I love you guys so much. Thank you for listening. We would love for you to rate and review the show, and I'd love to know your takeaways from the episode. You can do that by DMing me on Instagram at Nadia Munla.